was in my office today wondering what I was going to share tonight, and the Holy Spirit just dropped it in my spirit. And so I don't think I've ever taught this subject. I've talked around it, talked about it, but I'm going to teach the next couple of Wednesday nights that I'm here. I'm going to teach on the Jezebel spirit and what that means for us, especially in this hour, because we've got to get rid of the influence that this spirit has had in this community for absolutely years. How many know that the Fulton County and Rochester especially is a prisoner of that spirit? If you don't know, I'm about to tell you it is. You know, this whole town's run by just a few people over on the lake, the rich and the influential. And that's exactly what the whole thing's about, in that usurping spirit. The biggest sin of the nation of Israel was not their sin in the desert, although because of their unbelief, 40 years of judgment in the wilderness took place, and it wasn't until the second generation that left Egypt that actually entered the promised land. But the first 10 cities were pretty easy, except for Ai. They had a stumbling block there in Ai when Achan hid the gold underneath his tent and all of that. If you remember that, I think there was about 2,000 that were killed because of his sin, and they had to go back and take Ai again. But the biggest sin of Israel was that they did not wipe out the enemy. They got weary of killing the enemy, and they lived with him. Started with the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites came to Joshua and the rest, and they said, we're people from a far land. We've come a long way. They stuck some moldy bread in their saddle bags, and they came up to Joshua and said, hey, we're from a land far away. Make covenant with us, and we'll be your servants. And they intermingled with the Gibeonites. That started the whole thing. And then there were other cities that they refused to wipe out. Instead of wiping out the cities to get rid of the spirit, they did not get rid of the spirit. They married into it, and it absolutely destroyed the nation of Israel. Absolutely destroyed them, scattered them out throughout the nations. And it took thousands of years to get them back. It wasn't until 1947 that Israel became a nation again. 1948. It wasn't until then that Israel recovered from that massive mistake that they made. And in this community, the Jezebel spirit has worked in this community for so long, and we've made friends and tried to make peace with the Jezebel spirit. You can't do it. You can't do it. Because what it wants is control and influence. You know, I had a chance to talk with Pastor Tammany when he was here a few years ago, and I'll never forget our conversations that we had. It was so enlightening to me. I don't even think he realized how pertinent it was that he was talking about it when he came here in the early 80s, mid-80s, somewhere around there, 1983, 84. He was flying almost every weekend from Virginia over here. And when he finally came and established a church, it grew. It became the most influential church in the community. It was over 200 people just in a matter of a few months. And the controlling spirit said, we got the wrong people. We need the influential people in the community. We don't want just the Tom, Dick, and Harrys. We want the president Tom and the rich Dick and the Marys and all that. They wanted the best. And so they voted, and there was a big split that happened at the time, and never recovered from that. This church has never recovered from that. It's been over 30 years now. And we're still fighting the same thing, the influence. We're going to talk about it tonight. The influence that Jezebel has had in this community has been a death hold on the church. It's time for us to do warfare and get rid of it. There's only one way to take care of Jezebel, and that's to kill it. We're not talking about people. We're talking about the spirit that's using and manipulating organizations and people. You name any organization. If we had time, we could talk about organization in this community. There's figureheads at the top of the organization, but it's the people that are running the organization. It's that spirit that's running. Our mayor, there's spirits that runs our mayor. Come on, somebody. And when you begin to pray and God begins to show you, you realize, and I know I'm talking to some mature Christians, and I know you're going to get a lot of this right away. It's not basic teaching. This is kind of third level talking about the spirit that we're dealing with and how we have to deal with it. Jezebel, how many know the meaning of Jezebel, what the meaning is? Anybody know? The original meaning of Jezebel was false teacher. False teacher. And through that false teaching, there's control. You're talking about the fruit. But the root of the Jezebel spirit is false teaching. And as I began to research this, and we're going to get into this in the next few times we're together, but the Jezebel spirit was probably the spirit that Eve faced in the Garden of Eden. Strongest spirit, one of the strongest principalities in the demonic realm is Jezebel. Very influential, very controlling. That's probably who, when the scriptures say the most cunning of all creatures, that's what it's talking about. Jezebel's a created spirit just like everything else. The only thing that is eternal is God, amen? And so Jezebel means false teacher, one of the most intelligent and forceful spirits that we face even today. Revelation 2:20, when Jesus is talking to the church, he says, "Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols." One of the main subjects of warfare in this area is the Jezebel spirit. I have watched it try to take leaders out sexually, physically, with burnout and accusation since I got here. Not a year and a half after I got here, one of the largest churches in town, the pastor was taken because of sexual misconduct. How many times have we heard that over and over again? Pastors falling to sexual sin. What do you think that is? That's the Jezebel spirit. Usually they get linked in prayer. In this case, there was a secretary, 13 years the senior of the pastor. But there was a linkage there. And it absolutely destroyed him, destroyed his family. Come on, someone. And I've seen it actively involved with a pastor in the community who was attacked by cancer, stage 4 cancer, taken out. I've seen the spirit families of pastors, 2 pastors in town, their wives have been deathly ill. Larry Pyatt's wife almost passed away. Came near death. They didn't think she was going to make it. Just a year and a half ago. And to be unaware of this is to be taken by it. There's a tendency among full gospel people, and I realize there's a tendency among us to be hyper mystical. We want everything to be, you know, ooey ooey sometimes, especially charismatics. While we do not focus on demonic activity, we need to be aware of the tactics of the enemy. And as I said, since the inception of New Life, there's been an attack after attack after attack. I have chosen in my time here to speak about the authority that we have in Christ and the positions we hold. And we've talked a little bit about warfare, but tonight I really want to zone in on, because if not, we are not going to move forward. It'll just reoccur. I've seen the same pattern. Now I can almost tell you the pattern by heart that we go through all the time here as a church. Now we can either start pointing fingers to each other saying it's our fault, or we can realize that we fight a spiritual battle. Demons are more real than we are. Come on, someone. And we need to realize, as real as God is, demonic entities are real. They do not want to give ground to the church. They don't want to give ground to the Christian. They want us to feel sorry and get tired and be weary and start to make covenant with the spirits of evil, spirits of witchcraft, spirits of Jezebelic spirits, controlling spirits, influential spirits. Because they want to be quiet. They don't want to hold it. If spirits came right out in the open and started being openly demonic, how many know that's easy? We just bind them. But they don't. They come dressed as angels of light. We feel sorry. We don't want to bring... One of the things that I notice in this community is we don't want to bring judgment on anybody. And I understand the Bible says not to judge, but we are to correct and to bring chastisement by the Holy Ghost on people when they're doing things wrong. Are you there? Because if we don't correct them at a young age when they're interpreting what the Word of God is saying in their lives, they'll grow up to be like that. There are churches in this community that there are groups of people within the church that run the church. Leadership is not there, not leading. And I thank God that I don't think that's here in New Life. I don't think it ever was here at New Life. But I think the confusion and some of the things we'll talk about tonight, when I begin to mention them, you'll say, oh yeah, that sounds like us. But we have victory and we have authority. In his book, Don Richter, that was here visiting, is one of my pops in the Lord. He just turned 80 years old the other day. 80 years old. He wrote a book called Overcoming the Attack of the Jezebel Spirit. Here's what he says. I quote, "Jezebel in the church is the use of man's carnal nature to bring the church to the place of being dysfunctional." And that's what the Jezebel spirit is looking for, is to keep the head there, but to make it without fruit, no bearing fruit. Ahab, Jezebel had no, if you read the whole thing about Jezebel and Ahab, Jezebel had no desire to be the head. She didn't want to be queen. She wanted to be the king's wife. Come on, somebody. She controlled from the side. But she controlled Israel. You better believe it. Since our arrival here 6 years ago, I've noticed there's been a lingering spirit of rebellion and seduction that finds itself in these four things, if you're taking notes, here in this church. One is unrest. People have an unrest. There's a few that want to go somewhere else or do something else. And they're never quite satisfied with what's going on. Very prevalent. Number two is the spirit of offense. People get offended and they go, you don't love me, or I don't love you, or something. Come on, somebody. We think that the presence of the Lord is so fragile that he'll leave at the drop of a hat. How many know? Like some of the songs we say, I don't want to pick on anybody. Some of the songs we say, we sang a song tonight, come Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit. How many know the Holy Spirit's already here? He lives inside of us. Come live in me. Well, that's like, I love you. I love you. Come near me. It's like pretty soon you're going to get the guys with the white coats. We assume things and we're never going to take the authority that God wants us to if we don't realize that we have the authority. Holy Spirit knows when we come together, we don't need to beg him to come. He's already here. We just yield to him. Come on, someone. That's good theology. We sing all these songs, and it's no wonder we're all in kerflooey and easily offended and put out and unrestful. Come on, someone. Start saying what the Word of God says. You know, when the biggest persecution of the church happened, right after the baptism in the Holy Ghost, here's what the disciples prayed. They said, why did the nation rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand. The rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And say, oh Lord, are you still here? Please come, please come. They didn't waste their time doing that. They committed to speaking the authority. And if you don't function in that place of authority, Jezebel take control right there. Ahab had his back turned to the wall, crying because he couldn't have Naboth's vineyard. Jezebel said, here's my chance. I'll take the authority. She said, you just lay there and cry. I'll go take care of the vineyard. Come on, somebody. That's the authority that Jezebel wields. And she wields it. It wields it. Keep saying she, it's not a she. I don't want women to think that Jezebel's spirit's a woman. It's a spirit. And in this community, it's all over the place. I mean, the Chamber of Commerce. I knew Diane when she was at the Chamber of Commerce. She fought that spirit. I knew her, and I knew Amy Rowe that was the next president of that. She fought the same thing. And the person's in there now is facing the same thing because there's people on that committee for the Chamber of Commerce that are running this area. And they're not going to let it grow. They're not going to let it go anywhere. But it has to be bound. Come on, somebody. That thing has to be bound. Talk about the monster of the lake. That's the monster of the lake, that controlling spirit. And a third thing that would telltale sign of Jezebel's spirit is in the spirit of entitlement. When I first came here, we were giving money away like we were a bank. Might as well have been the New Life Bank. Come on, somebody. We kept giving money to people that can go make it themselves. We had people with their hand out. We just recently, the last couple of years, said we're not going to give anymore, and those people weren't found someplace else to go. Come on, somebody. I'm not trying to be cruel. It's just, I understand that we should be a giving church, but how many know? We have to take responsibility for our lives. We're the same word that says, you know, to help the poor, they're poor among you, and all of that, I get that. I live that way. But it also says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Come on, someone. The spirit of entitlement is throughout this community. People demanding that we take care of them. And the fourth thing is being unteachable. Doesn't matter how many times you talk to folks like that, they're unteachable. They don't realize they're taken over by that spirit. Some do realize it, and that's even scarier. Time to serve notice on this obtrusive, obnoxious spirit. Time to get rid of it. Turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 47, the 47th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah speaks to Jezebel without naming her. Spirit of God speaks. You can read that whole passage. I'll just read a couple verses beginning in verse 8. Therefore, hear this now, you who are given to pleasures, who dwell secretly, who say in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. I shall not sit as a widow, nor shall I know the loss of children. But these two things shall come to you in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon you in their fullness because of the multitude of your sorceries, for the great abundance of your enchantments, for you have trusted in your wickedness. You have said, no one sees me. Your wisdom and your knowledge have warped you. And you have said in your heart, I am, and there is no one else besides me. Jezebel realizes that to influence and to stay in control, it has to stay hidden. Some of the most spiritual-looking people are taken over by that spirit. Every time we get a good footing and signs and wonders occur here at New Life, a sign of the blessing of the Holy Spirit, by the way, there is an all-out attack. We just get the gears going, and we're going in the right direction, and the Spirit of God begins to move, and bam, something happens. Somebody's unhappy, somebody's this, somebody that. Jezebel loves working with confusion. Loves it. But once it's exposed, there must be a casting out and a vigilant willingness to never have it come back again. The objective of Jezebel is to stop the purposes of God from being realized by those anointed to carry out those purposes. Jezebel wants to come after leadership. The first time I ever witnessed the spirit of Jezebel was in my first church, Little Assembly of God Church. It absolutely, in 1982, when we started going there, it took until 2002, 20 years, to get rid of that spirit. When we attended there, The Spirit of God was on our pastor, and he anointed 12 people to go into full-time ministry. They're still in full-time ministry today. But that church could never get above about 125 was the highest it ever was. Years. It's because there was a contingent of people in there. Number one, it had a board-run church, which is right from the pit of hell. I mean, when the board runs the pastor, and pastor is told by the board how to do things. Come on, somebody. That's not scriptural. But that whole thing was run by a group of people, and they absolutely ate up and spit out that pastor. He went back to the mission field, back to Africa. And then the next pastor to come in grew the church to about 200, and they ate him up. I mean, they ate him up. Still, I'm still good friends with him today. And it chewed him up and spit him out. Then the next pastor came in, same thing. I mean, they control this thing. Everybody's real happy whenever you're doing what we want you to do, but when you start hearing from God and you want to go in this direction, that's not the direction we're going. It took 20 years to get Jezebel out of that, and now that church is running about 2,500, 3,000 people, just influential all over that community. Powerful, powerful church. It has to be broken or we won't go any further, see? That spirit of control. It's not so much here inside, although we are all used one way or another by that Jezebel spirit when the spirit of confusion and things that has happened here in the past. The objective of Jezebel, again, is to stop the purposes of God in the people that are called to be used of God. It works in tandem with other spirits. The Jezebel spirit has great intelligence to amass strength with other principalities. Jezebel will come in with all kinds of spirit of sickness. How many know there's a spirit of sickness? If you don't think Jezebel was powerful, she, the original Jezebel, had 850 prophets under her control. The prophets of Baal served Jezebel. She was powerful. Again, Satan attacked Adam and Eve with the Jezebel spirit. First question that spirit said to, Satan said to Eve was, has God said? Usurping authority right there. The carnal nature is a seedbed for Jezebel. In Romans chapter 8, Romans 8 and verse 5 says, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 8 says, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Jezebel wants to tweak the flesh. So any of that flesh that's with us, notice I'm not saying the old nature. I'm not talking about the old nature. Jezebel's not interested in sinners, although that spirit will use communities like I've talked about, the people in the lake running the whole town of Rochester. I believe that with my whole heart. I'm speaking from experience now, 6 years. I used to think that when I lived out on the lake. I hadn't been here that long, so I couldn't make emphatic statements. Trust me, a small group of people on the lake run this city. They're on every board. They're in influence. Their names are named in the paper probably once a week. The spirit of Jezebel is so strong because it does not need to be visible. In fact, that is the last thing it wants to do. It gains strength through influence. Here's its job description in Revelation 13:6. Says, then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those that dwell in heaven. Jezebel's spirit wants to blaspheme the Lord. That's the ultimate, is to unseat the power of heaven. Satan has never learned that he's lost. And we know in Isaiah, talks about the five I wills of Lucifer. I will set my throne above the one in heaven. He's still saying the same thing. Still saying the same thing. He's got hay for brains, I think. He doesn't realize. But if he can find a willing vessel, this spirit can find a willing vessel, it will continue to wreak havoc in our community. I, for one, am not going to put up with it anymore. And it's going to take concerted spiritual warfare to get rid of this spirit. But I believe we can do it. And without even knowing, we need to get with pastors. Pastors now that would hardly pray, you ought to hear us praying. Man, we're binding and loosing like we're Pentecostals. The Jezebel spirit will go after leadership that the impact can be greater. Strike the shepherd and the sheep will scatter. That's why it went after the pastor that I just spoke of a few years ago over here at the cross. And that did untold damage to the community for months. I'm not picking on anybody, but I've tried to get an intercessory team to cover me in prayer when I preach these things that I'm preaching right now. Because I'm not speaking doubt, but I'm fixing to be under great attack the next couple days. I know it's coming. Got to have a cover for prayer. I've tried three times to get intercessory team together to pray. Failed every time. People prayed two or three times. One of the most powerful prayers we had was out in the front of this church when we anointed it with oil. Boy, the next few weeks, it was just like the open heaven above the building. You could walk in and sense the Spirit of God. Bam. 3 or 4 weeks later, back to the same old thing. Come on, am I talking to the right people? Come on. I want to be real with you. This is what I'm saying. We have tried to gather for prayer, and it's attacked every time. There for a while, we're praying three times a week, Tuesday morning, Thursday morning, Thursday night. Nobody coming, nobody praying. I don't know if people were praying at the house or not. 2015, Danny Donaldson stood on that platform out there in the other room and came against the Jezebel spirit. Loudly and forcefully on a Sunday morning. It shook the hell. It shook the gates of hell. I could feel it from where I was sitting. I said, Danny, you gave it. Man, I could just feel the anointing hit and strike the death blow to Jezebel. Then on Wednesday night, he got up and he did the same thing. I could still see him walking across the stage. Ruah! Ruah! One night later, he was struck down, almost killed. Come on, somebody. This is serious business. It was when he was striking at the heart of Jezebel that it struck out. When I first came here, a man named Dan Jeffries. How many of you remember Dan? Dan was under attack from the Jezebel spirit from the time he came to this place. He couldn't wait to get out of here, him and his wife. Every time they tried to do something, the man couldn't sing, but he was a leader. Anointed leader. I remember praying with him, saying, hang in there. He couldn't wait to get out of here because people just usurped and usurped and usurped. I'm just being honest with you. We've got to get serious about getting rid of this spirit. Not just a little two-minute prayer. I mean, every day we've got to do warfare until this thing is gone. Because it's been allowed to take root. It's been allowed to dwell with us in this community for so long that people miss it. Greatly influential. I've seen it in the school system since I've been on the school board. I've seen it in the school system. People in positions of leadership doing the worst sins. I mean, ridiculous. I mean, educated people doing things that you say, your mom didn't, like, feed you whenever you were young. I mean, she didn't teach you anything. It's that spirit of influence that impacts not only the school, but it impacts the students. Come on. I've seen it with my own two eyes. Turn to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. No, I've seen when I've been, because I have the benefit of up here, I'm looking out there, you're looking at me, but I'm looking at everybody's face, and I've seen when I'm hitting it, and I know I'm preaching exact, I like to think every time every word comes out of my mouth is God, but I'm trying. But whenever I'm hitting it and God is speaking through me, I've seen a pale of blindness come over the congregation. People just, no effect. What is that? That's that Jezebel spirit. Wanting to rock us to sleep, influence us to think about something else. Come on, somebody. Some of you just came back in the room just now. Galatians 5:17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we do not rise up and get rid of this, God will choose someone else. His favor, his original plan for new life, his covenant that the leadership made with God originally when new life was established is still in effect. His mercy and grace have waited for us. He has not disqualified us yet. I'm just too old to care. I just don't care if I offend people. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm just trying to say we as a unit and as an entity need to get with it. Get with the program. All of us. Come on, somebody. I'm not trying to be heavy. I'm trying to be really heavy. Because the hour is upon us. It's here. If we ever needed a strong church in every community in our nation, it's today. If we ever needed strong Christians to stand up and declare in the Spirit, I want to scream sometimes, stop fighting the flesh, stop fighting the war in the flesh. Stop getting in arguments with people that are blind. It's the Spirit that we need to fight. So I want to go through these quickly, and then the next time we're together, we'll talk about how to overcome these things. But if many of us may sense some of these things in us, we need to get rid of it. How many know God desires to control our lives? The Holy Spirit, we're supposed to be under control of the Holy Ghost. Completely given to the Holy Spirit. Now, we have a responsibility to enact that, but the Holy Spirit working through us, His glory. Here are some signs of the Jezebel spirit. Number one, a refusal to admit being wrong. Jezebel spirit never wants to say, I'm wrong. Like the old Happy Days thing when Fonzie said, couldn't say I'm sorry. Jezebel spirit refuses to admit being wrong. They're always right. Secondly, the Jezebel spirit will use other people to accomplish their agenda. They always amass a gathering with them so they don't, they're not off by themselves. Although they want to be by themselves in receiving the glory. Number three, the Jezebel spirit withholds info. Some information. Sometimes you'll be talking with somebody and they'll go, well, I know something, but I can't say anything. Well, why did you say you knew something then? Are you just trying to, you know, you're trying to get me to look at you like you're more spiritual than me? You know something that I don't know, and then when I say, what do you know? I'm not going to tell you. Now you're playing mind games with me. Come on, someone. Can you imagine, let's go back to Nathan and David. Nathan coming to David and say, yo, David, King David, can I have a moment of your time? David says, yeah. Nathan says, I know something. David says, what do you know? I'm not going to tell you. But I know God just told me, and man, you in trouble. How would that have went? I mean, if you know something, come and tell me. That's the way you grow a church. If you see something, I've always said there's three kinds of people that get on the boat called the church. First kind of person finds a hole in the boat and jumps ship. Second one finds a hole in the boat and goes and screams at the captain, you got a hole in your boat. Third kind of person plugs the hole. Come on, somebody. The fourth characteristic is they speak in confusion. When they finally get to a place to start to explain to you, it doesn't make any sense. I started to say, I remember the first time there was a Jezebel spirit in our church, in our home church, there was a family called the Tosies. And the Tosies left the church and went to Bible school, all four of them. Mom, dad, and the kids all went to school. And they were gone for 2 years and came back. 2 or 3 years, weren't they? 2 years. 2 years. And they had just come back when we started to attend there. And they were the resident smart people. He was a teacher and she was I think she worked in a school somewhere, and both kids were very intelligent. And they started to get an idea that they were the only ones that knew what was going on. They would have secret meetings in their house. And they started having a home group. And it came against the leadership. They came against the pastor and said, this thing that you're doing is not good. We see demons everywhere. We see big devil sitting on top of the church. They caused all kinds of confusion. They called me over because I had, at that point, I had to call God on my life. I was getting ready to go to Bible school myself. And so Mr. Tosi called me over and had me over in his house. And man, I sat there for about a half an hour, and he tried to explain what he saw in the spirit, and I couldn't understand what he was saying. And he got me confused, and then the spirit jumped on me. Man, I ran out of that house. Number five, those who have the Jezebel spirit will volunteer for anything. They want to be involved in anything. Anything that's going on in the church, if they're not involved, they want to know what's going on. They want to know every detail, because otherwise they can't keep that control. Come on, somebody. We first had, I'm just being honest. Can I be honest tonight? I'm just being honest. We had leadership meetings, and people were mad because we were having leadership meetings and eating. What are you guys doing back there? We're having a board meeting. Well, what's going on? Can't we know what's going on in the board meeting? It's not a secret, but I mean, it's leadership. We're just being leaders. Come on, somebody. Number six is lies, just flat out lies. They'll lie and swear to it. Number seven, ignores people that will not further their interests. If they will not help them get their way, they'll ignore them and walk around them and just make their little cachet by themselves. Number eight, Jezebel spirit never gives credit or shows gratitude. Never give credit to anybody else but them, and they never say thank you for praying for me, thank you for leading me, thank you for doing anything. Number nine, they have a critical spirit. I can't believe he's speaking about that. I can't believe they're doing that. Number 10, they have one-upmanship. They always need to outdo whatever's going on. When I first started in the ministry, I had a man named Joe DiBenedetto. I've talked about Joe a lot. Joe was my lesson in the Jezebelic spirit. I had about 20 people when I first started to preach, and Joe was one of them, because somebody knocked on his door and he got saved. So that's where he wanted to be. Didn't believe in the baptism in the Spirit, didn't believe in most anything we believed in, but he came to church every Sunday. He sat right about where Mick's sitting, and he'd sit like this with his arms folded and look at me, and I'd be preaching, he'd go, and I couldn't get him out of my vision because the room was small, so I'd look over here and preach, and I could see him shaking his head. I'd look over here and preach, I could see him shaking his head. And then he started to, the next week, he would come with a teaching against what I was teaching on Sunday morning on cassette tapes. That's how long ago it was, on cassette tapes. He'd pass out cassette tapes to leadership. He'd say, the pastor's wrong. Here, listen to this. I was a young guy. Oh, I did. He said, I ain't going nowhere. This is where God called me to go. I'll tell the story about sometime how I got rid of that Jezebel spirit. It was rather funny, but finally got rid of it. And it was after he left, the church just exploded. Church just exploded. We grew two services, but it wasn't until we got rid of that Jezebel spirit. And he was very, very, with a cup of coffee in his hand. He never kicked cigarettes, so he'd stand outside after church smoking a cigarette and talking to somebody about what he knew about the message that was wrong. Of course, I didn't know anything like that was happening. I was just a young guy, 34 years old, and he was in his late 50s, so I was taught to respect my elders. It took a long time, and I learned a big lesson from Joe DiBenedetto. Number 11, they hold on to information. That information that they want to tell you, they only want to tell you that they know. They don't want to tell you what it is. They'll hold on to it. And number 12, they use that information to undermine leadership. Eventually, they'll say, well, I knew that was going on a long time ago. This is what happened a long time ago. And they'll start broadcasting it to their favor. Come on, someone. I don't have to tell you if you got aught against your brother, what's the scripture say? Go to him. As a matter of fact, the scripture says, if your brother has aught against you, leave your gift at the altar and go to him. You don't even have anything against him. You just know he's going to burn his saddle about you. Number 13, talk. Man, you talk to them for hours. They just want to impress you with their wisdom. Oh, you know, I got up this morning and stirred my coffee, and I looked down and the vapor coming from the coffee started to speak to me, and this is what I learned, and I just wrote 2 or 3 pages of stuff, and let me tell you. And number 14 leads into everything is spiritual. No matter what happens to them, it's spiritual. It's never their fault either. Spiritual. Number 15, they're insubordinate. They do not want to submit to authority. Number 16, they're pushy people. They get their way no matter what. And usually the way they get their way is they go to weak people in the congregation, they start to amass a group of people, and everybody thinks they think just like that person. Am I talking to anybody? Come on, someone. Number 17, one of the most influential things is they're clairvoyant. They don't have a discernment. They're clairvoyant. They're being used of the devil. They'll walk up to you and they'll say, you know what? I was just thinking about you. I just had a dream about you. And they'll read your mail and you'll go, man, they're prophetic. Beware. They're not prophetic. They're clairvoyant. Come on, someone. Number 18, they love using the element of surprise. Oh, I have been sitting on this for a couple years. Now I've got to broadcast and tell everybody. This is what's been going on. And because I'm such a man or a woman of God, I won't let anybody know. But now, this is all that's been going on. And they undermine leadership every time. Leadership has been so dumb they didn't see what's been going on for 2 or 3 years. Number 19, they love to sow discord. Of course, that's a given. They want to separate and divide. Number 20 is they crave attention. Me, me, me. Gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. I'll take all you can give me. They want the attention. Hey, why aren't you looking at me? And why did you check with me before you did those things? I won't say who it is, even if you twisted my arm. And I'm not trying to play games with you. But, man, for a while I had somebody come up and hand me a slip of paper every morning before I preach. This is what God told me. 80% of the time, it's what I was going to speak on. But I knew their heart wasn't right. Come on, somebody. Number 20? 21. They make others look like Jezebel. They'll accuse others of being Jezebel. They're trying to control things. They're trying to do this. They're trying to do that. We need to get rid of them. Number 22, disapproves of anything they have not thought of. If it's not their idea, can't be God. God didn't tell me. He might have told leadership, but he didn't tell me. If he didn't tell me, it can't be God, because God doesn't hold secrets against me. I mean, I'm God's person of power. Which leads into number 23, they know it all. You can't tell them anything. Oh, I knew that. Yeah, I knew that. Thanks for reminding me. Good message. Thanks for reminding me of that. I already knew that. They're ambitious, number 24. And they're number 25, they love to give gifts to leadership. In that growth stage I was talking about in my first church, I had this guy come from the community, very wealthy man, took me out to lunch a lot, bought me a suit, said, you look like you need a suit, let's go get you a suit. Bought me a suit, and just every time he saw me, he was giving me something. And pretty soon he started saying, I think you ought to do this, and I think you ought to do that. And I went home and told my wife, said, Terry, this guy's, you know, he's pretty neat. He's telling me these things. And we began to pray. And God said, uh-uh. So I had to meet with him and tell him. I said, thanks for everything you've done, but you're not in leadership here, and I can't take your advice. It's not agreeing with what I'm hearing from the Lord and what the leadership is hearing from God. Never saw him again. Never saw him again. Yes. Yeah, of course they want control. They don't give gifts for nothing. They give gifts to win your heart, get close to you. Yeah, but you don't do it for the purpose of, you're just a giver. I'm not, don't confuse it with just being a giver. I don't see you as trying to control anything. I don't think so anyway. Just kidding. It was in Philadelphia, and we were in a growth stage in Philly, and a woman and her husband, Anna and Nelson, every time I saw them, they'd bring in, every Sunday morning, they'd bring in a bag with gifts for Terry or for me, all the time. They wanted control, and that Jezebel spirit, we fought that spirit for 10 years. Every time, and when Nelson and Anna left, they finally got offended and left. Yay. Sorry, but it was a good day. And that thing jumped on somebody else. And then it would jump on somebody else. They would leave and it jump on somebody else. Then 10 or 15 people would get mad and leave and it jump on somebody else. It was one of the strongest things we ever saw. We fasted and prayed and cast out. And you know how it got in? Can I tell you a little story quickly? Is that all right? It got in through the pastor that was there for 20 years. He was married to two women at the same time. Made his first wife stand as a witness to his second wife's marriage. No. Just a very few that kept it quiet. And you know who kept it quiet? The people that wanted control. And they did. They controlled the pastor. One of the most intelligent men I ever met. Had two PhDs. Wrote a book. Was a family counselor. Wrote a book on family. Then that spirit came in. And you talk about a strong spirit. And that spirit ran things the whole time he was there. He had affairs the whole time. It's just it culminated in him having. And when I confronted him with it, he said, yeah, it's true, I have two wives. And I said, well, Bruce, don't you? He said, God told me it was okay. I said, he did what? God told me it was okay. I said, goodbye. Goodbye. I mean, but it came in on that. See, that spirit came in because leadership was weak. And those that could control, there was a woman there that was pastoring that church. When I got there, there was a woman that was pastoring that church. She was doing everything. Everything but the preaching. And she was influencing him on what to preach. She'd give him ideas about, here's what to preach. Because she, you know how I know that? Because she tried to do the same thing to me. She'd come visit me about Tuesday or Wednesday. You know what? I think this week it'd be good to, I said, her name was Ginger. I said, Ginger, it's not what I'm hearing from God. Well, you ought to, come on, let's pray. And no, that's okay, I'm busy. And her husband was one of the elders there. Come on, am I talking to the right people tonight? Where am I at? 26. Independent. And they act like they need people. They don't need anybody. Number 27, they're very religious people. Everything is God. God. God spoke to me. I can't even sleep. God speaks to me all the time. He comes to me in my sleep. He comes, talks to me 2 hours every morning. He sits across the table and has Sanka with me. Serious man, everything's religious with them. They can't you can't hold a normal conversation. Joe DiBenedetto, that guy, lost his job because he was at work trying to control everything, so they fired him. So I'd say, Joe, did you find a job? I'm not going to find a job. God's going to find me a job. I don't have to look for a job. God's going to give me a place. Well, it takes looking for work too while God's providing. I should tell the rest of that story, but I'm not going to. Lastly, number 28, it loves to hide. It never admit. Down through the years, I've been doing this thing. You know, I was just thinking tonight, the first message I ever preached was 36 years ago. 36 years ago this month, I was given a ministry at the college. I was head over evangelistic outreach. The guy that was heading it, graduating, sat with me in May of that year, graduating, and he said, you're the man to take this. For the next year and a half, I led teams out on the street for a year and a half. But I said all that to say this. I've been tempted to be used by that spirit, even in the Bible college I attended. This thing is prolific. It's everywhere. And boy, there's, you know, we got involved for just a little bit with a group of students that were never happy, and they tried to usurp the authority of the school, and God chastised me. I'm glad I had a good friend that smacked me around. I was being critical. Here's what he said to me finally. He sat beside me. He said, you know, you can criticize so long until you start criticizing the head. Jesus is the head of his body. And if you're criticizing, you're saying he's messing up. Boy, that broke that thing. So happy. Because I could have went that way. Could have been part of that problem. Come on, somebody. The main thing that Jezebel's spirit is after all that is character assassination. That spirit wants to make leadership look like they don't know what they're doing. Whether it's leadership in a company, leadership in a community, leadership in the church, leadership in the nation. You want to talk about a Jezebel spirit? Jezebel's spirit is completely taking over the House of Representatives and the Senate. Completely taken over. And media. Media is completely taken over by the Jezebel spirit. I mean, every one of them. I'm not trying to oversimplify the thing. It's the Jezebel spirit trying to take authority from behind. Hollywood, same thing. I mean, Hollywood is like, they were lost a long time ago. They just are making it known now. Yeah, sure. Making $400 a month payments on a car, but they can't afford to get groceries. Sell your car and buy something cash. Walk. Come on. And we feed it. I mean, there's a church in town. I'm not trying to be nasty, but there's a church in town feeds 150, 200 people every Wednesday night, dinner. They've been doing it for years. I don't know that they got any converts. But boy, if they shut that down, you'd hear about it for... It's a spirit of entitlement. It's a spirit of control. And boy, if we ever could see it. If you want an illustration, just turn on your TV. Just watch what's going on in Washington right now. Just watch what's going on in Hollywood. It's that spirit of control, that spirit of, man, it's okay, put a figurehead up there. That's why, listen, I could get into this thing. That's why Obama was so effective for 8 years. Obama didn't know, he was dumber than a box of rocks. But he was controlled by everybody that was surrounding him. The only thing he had going for him is he was a good speaker as long as you can read off the teleprompter. Come on, somebody. Down through the years in this country, I mean, that spirit of control, and really, I mean, as I've been doing some research, called Jezebel's spirit, it's called the Bride of Satan. One of the strongest principalities. Even in that role, it doesn't want to be first. Because Satan's so stupid, he doesn't know when to quit. But he's taken authority. And the thing he's doing is attacking the church, God's bride. Forget everything else that they're attacking. I mean, once we get our footing and start to do warfare, and that thing lifts off things, you'll see a change in the community. The atmosphere will just change. We finally beat that spirit in New York. The atmosphere in the church just changed. All of a sudden, people being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and all kinds of stuff because that thing was gone. You almost go, what changed? You take authority and then keep the authority going. Because Jezebel never really leaves. That spirit wants to control. That spirit's been around since the beginning of time. And it will continue, since the Garden of Eden, it will continue to do what it does until the end. Those that know their God, Daniel says, will be strong and do great exploits. But it takes warfare, it takes being vigilant, it takes being watchful, and it takes taking your place of authority. You're not usurping anything when you move in authority. You have the authority in your home. You have authority in the church. You have authority in the spirit. And when you're directing your warfare against those spirits, you'll win every time. But what the enemy does is have us turn our swords against one another. We got to stop it. Just got to stop it. Allow the Holy Ghost to be the Holy Ghost. How many know the Holy Ghost knows how to... How many has been chastened by the Holy Spirit in the last week or so? How many know the Holy Spirit knows how to chasten? If I want... The biggest way that I could see correction in somebody is not scream at them, it's pray for them. Come on, somebody. I mean, there's a time when we got to talk to one another, and we got to take correction, all that. I get that. But that Jezebelic spirit, man, it will... I've talked too much probably tonight, but next time we're together, how to overcome and maintain vigilance to be rid of that spirit in the church. How to overcome finally and succinctly the power of Jezebel. So, Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing. You're awakening your church. I sense it, God. There's a warfare footing that you're giving us. Lord, you've declared war in the heavenlies. I believe that. Lord, there's a word going out from your throne room. It's time for the saints to fight. God, we've been too nice for too long. God, we've made friends with and lived among witchcraft spirits, controlling spirits, Jezebelic spirits. God, no more. God, they're real, and we've got to take authority over there and bind them and cast them out in Jesus' name. Help us to do that. We do that even tonight. Yes. I pray protection upon each and every one that's received your word tonight, God, that you'd protect us, build a hedge of protection around us. Yes. Lord, let us know that we have the authority inside of us. Yes. Lord, we're not asking you to come from some far-off realm in the heavenlies and come visit us again. You're living inside of us. Right. You've given us authority now. Lord, we're not begging for you to come. Oh, please, Holy Spirit, come. No, Holy Spirit, you're here. Thank you. Thank you for living in me. God, rise up within each and every one of us that we might have authority in our sphere of influence where we live, where we work, in our communities, God, in the name of Jesus. Those who know their God will be strong and do great exploits. We give you glory and honor and praise. Amen.